Miles Smith on three with gold. Let's say hi to Maurice Misolowski. How you doing?
Yeah, I love being said hello to.
Hello.
Very, very good. Happy Tuesday, everyone.
Happy Tuesday to you. Maurice has been super busy on his blog, which we'll get to in a second. But we were on last week about what we thought Apple was going to come out with. So I suppose we ought to spend a couple of minutes just saying what they did come out with. And just from what I've been reading, people are sort of going, yeah, what did you think?
Yeah, so should we? I suppose we should. So it was the usual announcement. Look, in Apple's defense, this announcement was never going to be grand.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't say anything in advance. Apple has this whole mystique about it and always has had, but they have lots of people that leak. I mean, the place leaks like
of
a
course.
Sieve. They don't do it officially. So unofficially, there has been comments for many, many months that this year's was always going to be more of the same, and next year's, we haven't heard this one before, but next year's is going to be very grand.
We've heard
and
that
over
before.
The top. And no. But so we weren't expecting much, and last week, as you said quite rightly, you know, when I went through the list of what we were expecting, you can't say I sounded bored about it. Guess what? I'm even more bored. But let's go through what.
Well, it's not going to be that uneventful that they're not going to score squillions through just upping the number on their phone, are they?
Well, they will. But the churn that used to be there. So you and I used to talk in the old days about the big difference. Now, next year's I'm going to buy every single year that came along, and there were literally rows and rows, queues and queues of people outside Apple stores when they came out. I remember that. I was actually in Hong Kong a couple of times and other places.
Yeah.
It was extraordinary around the block and people were buying them.
Well, there was a lot of parallel trading going on, which I think they put the lid on. I'm not sure.
Yeah. But anyway, that's what it used to be. It's not anymore because most people just say, look, my phone works really, really well. I'm only going to get a new one if it breaks or if you do something so extraordinary that my life just has to have it in it, and neither of those things happened.
Yeah.
So we're up to number 17. That's where we're up to with the iPhones.
So there you have it, basically. I mean, their idea of extraordinary is obviously in the realms of AI and stuff like this, which a lot of people, not just you know, grumpy adults, a lot of people think is just cosmetic.
Well, it's not, and it actually is a big shift. So I'm kind of underplaying it. It is a significant shift. My advice is always let's cut to the chase, and we'll come back to the middle. If your iPhone is breaking or at the edge of its life, and you want a new one, this is well worth buying.
Right.
If you have one in the last 2 years and you are very, very happy with it and you are looking for this new thing to do something extraordinary, that it most probably will not satisfy that.
There's a new retrograde retail model, which is, hey, I'll get a 15 now for a decent, you know, or whatever.
That's and there's a lot of that going around.
Yeah,
so you will find the 15s and the 16s. So this is not knocking it. It's a terrific phone. I just can't see anything that makes you want to, you know, get rid of your 16, throw it out the window and go and buy a 17.
OCD, but FOMO, that's what they're playing with.
But not anymore, because lots of people now, most people can wait. You know, those days are gone. So iPhone 17, there's a Pro version. There is the 17 and the 17 Plus. Big, big difference is that this year's has the A19 Pro chip, which means nothing except, of course, Phil, my favourite comment, it's swifter, faster and lasts longer, that type of stuff in it. And it also has some baked-in AI stuff, not just shoved in, but actually baked into the chip. So it works better. It actually does do AI much, much better. But again, as I've said a couple of times, not enough to make most people throw the 16 out the window and go and buy a new one.
Are they making influencers and TikTok stars get all excited? Because that's obviously a massive area.
No, but there will be. I mean, there will be the unboxings and people get excited by it, and certainly some will. The thing that's making a ripple effect more than the Pro, more than the 17, the Plus and the Pro, which are upgrades worthy of themselves, which are upgrades, is the Air, 17 Air. That's a brand new moniker for iPhones.
Oh, the thin one.
It used to be SE. So the SEs are gone. They're dead, forgotten, stopped with the 16s, and now they brought in the Air one, which is a nod to the rest of it, because you can buy the MacBook Air, which I've got, and a lot of their other products come in Air.
You know what the elephant in the room is with these, though, Maurice? They're very, very thin, and if you drop it, it'll shatter, so you have to put a case on it. It means it's not very, very thin anymore.
Don't drop it, Phil. Don't drop it, whatever you do. So it's 5.6 millimeters in thickness. It's very thin. And when you look at the pictures they've taken, of course, they're taken on the side because that's what you want to see. It's almost transparent. Of course it isn't, but it's so wafer thin. And it's been redesigned. It's been positioned between the standard and the pro models. It kind of fits in that middle range for people that just want something that's ultra, ultra thin and a bit different. That's where that one sits. So that's the phone lineup. Definitely worth it if you're wanting to get one and need to get one. But if you don't, maybe wait and see if next year's is going to be as hyped up and wonderful as they say it's going to be.
When was the big change period? Was it, say, in between, say, 1 and 5 or something like that?
I think it's more around, well, it was around the 5s and 6s when social media and online became really important to people.
Yeah, yeah.
So the 1s and the 2s and the 3s were wonderful upgrades from what I'm going to call the Nokia era. When most people had a Nokia and they were going from what was called a dumb phone, not because the phone was silly or because you didn't deserve to have it, but just because it didn't do internet particularly well. And if you remember, if you had them, you really couldn't even do SMSs. Remember playing snakes on them? That was the old stuff. The 1s, 2s, 3s, 4s and 5s did all of that on toast and really introduced most people into the smartphone world.
Yeah.
They were the really big changes. And then every couple of years there was the next big iteration. They had to get bigger, they had to get fatter and they had to get faster because people started to do more on them. And they became a mini office or a mini world for many people.
Right.
So they just needed to be able to contain a lot. So that's them. They also talked about AirPods, things you shove in your ears to be able to hear. And the AirPod 3, Pro 3,
Babelfish.
Is a really nice piece of kit, a big advancement on the 2. It has biometric sensors, which means that in your ear, if you want to use this, it can do heart rate monitoring. It can hear your health. I know it sounds strange, but our ear actually, if you think about it, doctors will use your ear often to be able to tell whether you're well or not. And it has a whole lot of AI-powered real-time language translation in it.
Yeah.
So you can be talking to somebody and you can hear them back. The thing that I learned last week, which I took for granted, was I thought it had Mandarin in it. It doesn't. So we'll have to wait and see what happens there.
That's really interesting.
Now, I don't know that to be true, but I do know from a colleague who was actually very, very excited because he spends a lot of time in China, and he thought, well, this is the answer. I normally use a translation app. This is the answer.
Yeah.
And he got all dejected on Saturday night when we were talking about it. So what else do I talk about on Saturday night?
Yeah, fair enough.
And he said that I looked it up, and it doesn't work yet. Not out of the box yet. It will, but not out of the box, apparently.
I'm just interested what you thought about this. So 6 hours ago, I think, Morris chucked up a brand new article on his blog. Is that new, isn't it? Who decides 2025? Tell us about that.
Yeah, it is. I'm really chuffed and proud with this. This is an original piece, not that anything else I wrote isn't, but this is a research I commissioned. I've kind of teased you about it over the last couple of months. So I'm... You know what I do. I'm a futurist. I talk about what tomorrow might look like. And one of the things that I talk about often is humans. And I just don't think there's enough humans in conversation about artificial intelligence. Everyone talks about the tech and everything else. But what I really wanted to understand was how much of AI would people let decide things in their life? We keep hearing it can, but will we actually let it do it? And this is the research piece. I interviewed 120 CEOs, or C-suites as they're called, around Australia and America. Took them through quite a rigorous research set of questions and then spent a whole lot of time putting together what is now a 99-page report complete with graphs and all sorts of words in it that tell us how likely people are to trust AI to make decisions for them.
Okay. Give us the potted thing. What am I going to learn? I've got it in front of me, of course, but, and as always, it's a really cool long read. Go on.
Yeah, read the whole report. It's even longer. So what we came to is where I thought we would start, but now I have the empirical evidence. In other words, I have the number, and that is that people will not trust AI with things that are important to them.
Okay.
That's where it boils down to. There are a whole lot more stats around that. But what we found, or what I found in this, was that it, depending on what it is you want them to decide, is depending on how much you'll allow it to do. Simple things like, I asked people whether they would allow AI to choose holidays for them.
Yeah,
and
seriously.
Most people, because it's being used a lot for that. But what I found was that only 29% of people that I interviewed said that they would allow AI to choose their holiday for them. It would allow them to find places and to make suggestions, but it wouldn't allow them to choose it. But the same group of people, over 60% of the people, said that they would trust AI to make superannuation, money you put away for retirement, decisions for them.
Because that's based on numeric logic and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly it. So what they could do is they could say to this thing, calculate, you know, I'm 55 or whatever I am, you know, what's the next 10 years look like for this? He came back with evidence, came back with all sorts of charts, and they felt, well, that's more reasonable than I could do, the individual, so I'm going to trust that. But holidays, they mean too much to me. You know, I like coffee, I like dancing, I like whatever it is I'm doing, I'm going to choose those.
One thing that I'm looking at right now is zero leaders trust AI with hiring or strategy. I mentioned that because I've been reading stuff probably through you about the AI doing the initial interview and bits and pieces like that.
Yeah, so they will allow. And what was interesting was that not only what you just said is true, but the HR leaders specifically, so human resource people that only do that, only 15% of them that I surveyed said that they would trust AI to do the hiring. They will certainly allow them, and I think that's a great thing because AI shouldn't do hiring in my viewpoint, but it will allow them to sort through the interviews, to do some of the interviews because there's great technology around to do that,
okay,
to shortlist, but it won't allow them to say, hire Morris, hire Phil, and then do it for them.
Would it sort through the applications for stuff like bad grammar incorrect style, all that kind of stuff?
Yep. So happy for it to do that. Absolutely happy for it to do that, but not to make the decision. Don't send out the email. Don't make the calls telling people they're hired. I want to do that. Me, the human, wants to do that.
Yeah. I got an email here from John. He says, will AI get 5 more losers to walk through the door behind him? I think he's talking about bosses.
So what, and also what we found was no surprise, but empirical evidence is the age ranges of people that do trust AI. 18 to 24 year old, 66% of them said that they would trust AI.
Yeah.
70% between the ages of 25 and 34. And then it got to people between 55 and 64, only 45% would trust AI to help them to make decisions across all tasks.
Did you by any chance, are you a South Park fan?
Not really.
The AI episode, there's lots of conversations going on about a business strategy, one of the characters, and everything he says, the AI is going, yeah, that's a really good idea, blah, 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 really support. And, of course, he's going off down a massively, you know, dangerous cul-de-sac, but every decision the guy wants, can I try this? Actually, that's really worth considering. And it does that, basically.
It does. So I don't know the episode. I'm going to have a look at it.
Do.
But it absolutely is what you said. So what it does is it takes you, I mean you who is talking to it, learns all about you and it learns how you like to be spoken to. And most people like to be applauded. I mean, I'm one of them who likes to be told that what they're doing makes sense. It's great. It's terrific. Do more of it. And it does that. It mimics it back. It does exactly that.
You know, the moon's made out of oranges. Yeah, Phil, that's not a bad concept. Let's extrapolate on that. And you're like, oh boy. I can see why they don't want it.
Humans do that. In NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming, which is a thing that a lot of salespeople and other people use, they have a term called mirroring.
Yeah.
And mirroring is exactly that, where what you are taught, I mean, this is how you are taught as an executive, is what the person's telling you, in other words, what the customer, what the employee, whatever anybody you're speaking to is telling you, you need to mirror it back to them. You need to make sure that they know that you have heard them. And there are certain words and techniques that you do that. This thing called AI does a whole lot of mirroring. But the biggest problem is that person that's just done it eventually walks out of your life. ChatGPT, Gemini, whatever else doesn't. It just consistently feeds you a diet of you're wonderful and you're terrific.
I know.
And that can be not necessarily a good thing if at particular times, because of course we're wonderful and terrific, but maybe 1% of the time we're not.
Oh, well, yeah. There is that too. Let's carry on for a bit more. This is awesome. So basically, if you just joined us, morrisfuturist.com, who decides 2025? And as he said, he's been really cooking up to this one. It's very important to, I bet you didn't use AI to sort out your demographics of people to interview, did you? Or did you?
I did. I used AI a lot. I used AI a lot in the background of this. It was actually a fascinating piece.
Yeah.
I've been doing research for a very, very long time. It was the first time that I've actually used a great deal of AI behind the scenes to help me to chart the questions, to help me to work out the demographics that I wanted. I was able to put a whole lot of shortcuts in because I knew the sorts of things I wanted, but it could make sense of that far quicker than I was able to before.
And it's part of the shtick anyway. I mean, if you think about it, it's got to be. There's one thing that's grabbing me going down, mm-hmm. flying through this article, and it's making me laugh a little bit because corporates, percent, this, that, and the other. Government, zero. Everything, government, zero. And yet governments are the ones who are always boasting about wanting to use AI.
No, you're absolutely right. So both governments in Australia and America that I interviewed, of course, I didn't interview everybody. I interviewed only one or two out of them, or maybe a bit more. But anyone involved in government policy said absolutely not. They would not trust AI. Now, again, that goes back to what they're allowed to do within that confines. But I also think there's a slight hint there at the sorts of people that government employs or uses, that they are risk-averse by nature, and governments are happy with risk-averse people because they don't want them to go out on a limb too much. But you're right, it was absolutely zero. No uptake whatsoever.
So why are they always grandstanding about, you know, Web 6.12 or whatever?
Yeah, they want everyone else to do it. They think it's a great idea for everybody else, and they've seen to making policy or decisions or talking about it. But on their own, they are very, very bad at it. I mean, I remember I had a workshop with a group of politicians, a very well-known group of politicians here in Australia. It was about 10, 15 years ago, and they brought me in to talk about social media. So these were the politicians. I mean, not their advisors, but the politicians, the ones who were elected in. And I had about 50 of them in the room for one of the big parties here. They got me into the room to talk about social media about 10, 15 years ago, and every one of them thought it was a complete waste of time.
That's...
I can tell you, every one of them, no exaggeration, I walked out of that room so disappointed that they didn't think it was relevant. They were so busy talking to people on the streets, in their offices, by paper, by fax. They didn't have time for this.
Yeah, well, think about where we were in 2010. That's very interesting, actually.
Yeah. So what we're finding now with AI, I think, is similar. I mean, I always go back to that cohort. I knew them before. I know them since. I mean, not them, but groups like them. They are just risk averse. So not surprising at all.